Do you want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org. TheWordEndures.org.
Well, I can speak from personal and now 23 years of experience on the subject we're about to discuss with Joanna Hensley, parenting a child on the autism spectrum. One of my children is on that spectrum, and it took my wife and I a long time, the better part of 10 years, to figure it out. He was very high-functioning, so that was part of the reason it slipped by us. We always knew that something was different. We always knew that there were unique challenges to raising this little guy, not a little guy anymore, but we didn't know what it was until finally a very helpful special ed teacher just happened to pull me into her office one day. And she said, you know your son? He's textbook on the autism spectrum. And within the next year, we had that confirmed. And the challenges are real. And because they call it a spectrum, sometimes the challenges are very intense and sometimes they are less intense. We're going to talk about parenting a child on the autism spectrum. Joanna Hensley joins us. She's a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of six children, including an autistic son. She's a Latin teacher for an online classical Christian school called Wilson Hill Academy. She joins us from Adelaide, Australia. Joanna, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about your 12-year-old son, Sammy.
Well, the biggest news about Sammy is he's not 12 anymore. He just had a birthday the other day, so he's a teenager now. He's 13. And he loves football and Lego and Star Wars and our backyard chickens. But he also has autism and, on top of that, a language disorder. So he is quite different from other kids socially. He just doesn't understand the world the same way other people do, and that's a challenge for him every day.
You say not high functioning. What does that mean in the world of the autism spectrum?
Yeah, so when you're thinking about children with autism, there's so many different children with autism, and each one is going to have a unique set of challenges and also giftedness. We might say that someone is high-functioning when they're still able to have relationships and go to school and grow up and have a job and this sort of thing. But then there's other people who have a more severe autism where they're not able to do all of those things, or at least they're not able to do it as much as you might expect neurotypical people to be able to.
So when did it begin to dawn on you and your husband that Sammy was on the autism spectrum?
When Sammy was about 2 or 3, we noticed a delay in his language. And that would be the first thing that really caught our attention and had to start going to see all of the specialists. He just wasn't talking. And I want to be clear for the listeners, sometimes children start talking late and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that child. There's no autism. There can be any number of things there. But in our particular situation, he just wasn't learning to talk, and that was our first sign.
So what are the biggest challenges in raising a child on the autism spectrum?
I think there's a lot of challenges. One is going to be just dealing with your own set of expectations that you have for your child. When you're looking down at your beautiful baby, you're not necessarily thinking of all the hard things that are going to be ahead. You're dreaming big, and that's what mothers should do, I think. But coming to terms with expectations that are not going to be met, mourning those expectations, that's a hard thing. Also, finding the support that you need, whether it's support that you need for your child, so therapists and doctors and specialists, but also finding support that you need as a parent, because Negotiating those social situations can be tricky, especially when you've got a special needs child on top of that, and you want to be able to support your son, but also just live your life and accomplish your goals. So finding that support can be hard.
My wife and I have raised a child on the autism spectrum. He has Asperger's and very high functioning, but it has been an enormous challenge day to day in other respects. One of the things it's taught us is that we cannot predict what is going to be a problem on any given day in any given situation. Has the same proven true for you and Sammy?
Absolutely. I can relate to that. Because you sort of think, what kid doesn't like pizza or going to the fair or birthday surprises? And I could just think, well, that would be my boy. He doesn't like any of those things. And it does make it hard when you try to do things that you think are going to be a success, but then it turns out to bring on a terrible meltdown. And you just feel, I think as a parent, there's a responsibility and almost a failure that you think, you know, you just aren't able to predict what's going to make him happy. So that is definitely a hardship.
You use that term meltdown. That's actually a term that we've used in our family as well. And my adult son uses it as well. It helps to explain these crises that occur sometimes, as you said, unpredictably. They're not just emotional. They're, at least in our experience, it's been a lot of emotions, including a deep sense of frustration. Is that true for you as well?
It is. And one thing that I always try to remember is, as frustrated as I might feel when my son is going through that, he is feeling many times more frustrated because those emotions that he's feeling are real, and he is trying to interact with the world in a way that he just, like he's trying to play by rules he doesn't know or something like that. So it's genuinely hard for him, and that's why, even though when it happens at the most inopportune times in public or in social circumstances or something like that, it can be really hard for me, but I'm always trying to remember to look at it from his perspective too.
You say that homeschooling Sammy was a very good decision. Why is that?
Well, we started off in a special needs preschool, and I don't blame the teachers at all. They were lovely with him. I know they worked really hard. And this is a shout out to special needs educators across the world. I know you're working very hard to help our kids. It just wasn't the right fit for him, though. His anxiety was through the roof. And because he was trying to wrestle with that fear, he wasn't able to learn anything along the way. And different people with autism have different challenges, but for our son, it's not an intellectual disability. He's still capable of learning. It's just that it needs to be presented to him in a very different way. And so for that reason, when we brought him home, we were able to take some of that fear away from learning, get his anxieties under control. I also think, as a mother, I have studied that child since the day he was born. And so it does make sense that I would be the one who would go that extra mile to present the material in just the way he needed it to present it so he could learn.
It's such a complex problem of parenting and of growing up on the autism spectrum. When my son was old enough to articulate it to us, I distinctly remember having a conversation with him when he was in the early years of high school that opened my eyes, where he said, you know, people think that we can't receive the same stimulation that everybody else does. But he says it's the opposite. We can't filter the stimulation. We can't deal with it all at once. And when he told me that, I suddenly had an entirely different way of approaching the way I dealt with him as a father. What has your experience been there?
Well, our son isn't yet able to vocalize that idea, although I suspect that it would be true for him as well. He feels so deeply and he observes the world so acutely that he doesn't tune out anything. And I think that's why those extra noises or those flashes of light or all of the different details of the world do overstimulate him. And so when he can get to that quiet place where he can really focus on things, it's almost like he's unstoppable because he does have that real depth of thought, that depth of feeling.
Joanna Hensley is our guest, a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of 6 children, including an autistic son. We're talking about parenting an autistic child. What has helped Sammy's communication skills the most? We'll find out next.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You're invited to an open house Sunday afternoon, November the 17th, at the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis, St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. The open house includes a presentation by Jocelyn Benson of Wittenberg Academy titled, Why Settle for Good Enough? You'll also have an opportunity to visit the school and meet our teachers. Find out if St. Paul Lutheran School is the right place for your family. Join us for an open house Sunday afternoon at 1, November the 17th, at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois.
We're talking with Joanna Hensley about raising an autistic child. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. In about a half hour, we'll discuss the new caliph of the Islamic State with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam, and The Triumph of the West. Joanna, what has helped Sammy the most with his communication skills?
Well, so for our son, he learned to read before he spoke or before he spoke conversationally. And this is one of those things that I almost discovered by accident just as part of our homeschooling journey. You have a certain set of goals that you're trying to achieve each year. And so learning the alphabet and learning the letters and learning how to read, getting your phonics in, right? All of those things are things that I knew should be age appropriate for him. And so I wasn't sure with him being almost nonverbal. I wasn't sure how much of that would really connect with him. But we went through and he started to learn to read. And when he saw the words, it gave him a visual language, right? So much of our language is based on what we hear. And that's the way most people learn language, is by hearing it and listening to it. But for Sammy, he needed to see it. And so seeing the written word really helped him to take off. And then as an extension of learning to read first, I also taught him grammar, and part of this is because in my introduction you said I'm a Latin teacher, so I'm sort of into grammar just anyway. But I went ahead and taught Sammy language grammatically. So I would, for example, show him the structure of a subject noun verb, right? The cat ran, the bird flew, the boy swims, whatever the sentence was. I broke it down to subject, noun, verb again and again and again. And then he saw it. He saw that structure, which then I could add in maybe a direct object, maybe a prepositional phrase. I could make it increasingly more complex. And I feel like it was almost like his Lego. He saw how words can fit together in order to build bigger things. And now to this day, he speaks very grammatically. He's learned English almost like how we learn foreign languages. So he's learned it grammatically, and now he's able to express himself much better.
So grammar was kind of the mechanism by which he could structure his, not his thoughts, but the way he expressed himself. I mean, for most people, we pick that up without understanding any of those rules, but those rules were that gateway for him.
Exactly. It's almost topsy-turvy to the way most people learn. Babies learn how to speak when they're, two or so, because they've heard other people speaking around them. And then they learn to read, and then they learn their grammar. But a lot of the grammar is just what sounds right. To Sammy, nothing sounds right, because the sound, like the listening part, is where he has a disconnect. So for him to see it written in a consistent way with very orderly and predictable patterns, that is what he was able to use to unlock his conversation.
How do the younger children in your family relate to Sammy?
We have ups and downs like any other family, I suppose. But I do think that it is a unique challenge for us. As my younger ones are getting older, you know, they do understand that Sammy is different from other kids. And I've talked with some of my other children about how he has autism. But we also talk a lot about how Sammy is made in the image of God and how we love him and he's part of our team. And I sometimes say, you know, if something would happen to you, to another one of my children, if you had an accident or something that would make your brain not be able to function the same way, we would absolutely love you in the same way as we love all of our children, right? We don't love each other based on our behaviors or how well our brains work. And it also helps that since I have 6 kids and 5 of them are neurotypical, that critical mass of our family is not revolving around autism. It's not revolving around Sammy. He's a part of it, but he's not the center of it. So I feel like Sam really learns a lot from them. He learns that as a family, we do go to parks and we play, and we do go to swimming lessons, and we do go to parties, and we do these things because the other kids are able to do them. And then he comes along and participates as he is able to.
What kind of practical daily accommodations have you put in place for Sammy?
Yeah, we do a lot of the typical things for a child with autism. So he goes to speech therapy. He's got psych. He's got occupational therapy. And really so thankful for the team of therapists that we have working with Sam. I think his whole life we've been blessed with good therapists who are helping him to be the best Sammy that he can be. And in addition to that, I also have respite for me as mother. So on Friday afternoons, we actually receive funding through a program that they have here in Australia that pays for someone to come and take care of Sammy on Friday afternoons so I can have a bit of a break. And this is something I'm really, really thankful for.
What have been some of his biggest breakthroughs?
Thinking back on these 13 years, it's hard to count the breakthroughs because I feel like as a mother of a child with autism, if you have the eyes to see them, you will see breakthroughs all the time. For example, just recently, I see how he plays football with his brother in the backyard. And that's something that he never would have been able to do even a year ago. I see that he has started to participate in a nature club with some other homeschooling families that we do here in Adelaide. You know, those sorts of things would have been beyond him, like I said, even a year ago. And that's the thing. If you're a parent of a child with autism, you've almost got to train yourself to be amazed at each of these little things because they're not little for Sam. It's a big deal for him that he is doing those things. And so it almost brings an extra reason to celebrate when you see that he's able to accomplish those sorts of goals.
You mentioned the things that he loves, and often the loves of kids with autism are almost obsessions. It's sometimes kind of funny. But what they love intensely. And what they love, it becomes for them almost kind of their whole world. Is the same true for him?
It is. I think I mentioned he loves our backyard chickens. Those chickens are true friends for him, and he takes good care of them. He feeds them, and he waters them, and he gathers their eggs. And sometimes he'll even tell us which egg came from which chicken. He'll say, this one's from Padme, or this one's from Amy. Or he has a real care for those chickens. And yeah, maybe some people might call that obsessive, but you know what? I love that he loves something in creation. And another thing that he can sort of be that way with actually is part of the catechism, like the Ten Commandments. He's really good at his Ten Commandments and his meanings, and he studied them as part of his First Communion classes. And so that would be another thing where Yeah, maybe it's a little bit obsessive when he, you know, is going around trying to figure out which commandments applies in any given circumstance or in a book that he's reading or something like that. But, you know, it's not a bad thing. He's delighting in the gifts that God's given him, and he does it with intensity.
Talk about, then, your son's place in the life of your congregation.
We've been very fortunate in the congregations that we've attended to have people who've been very supportive of Sam. I know that it's not always the case, though, because I talk to other families with special needs children who feel alienated or disconnected from their churches. That's not our challenge. Everyone has welcomed him and welcomed our family, and they don't mind talking to him after church about the chickens in the backyard. I think they kind of like it, you know. So in that sense, they've been really patient. And I'm thankful for this because church is it's the most important thing in Sammy's life and in my life too. I suppose thinking about how church needs to be that safe place where he can come rather than feel that he's not welcome because of sounds that he might make or the way he looks.
Joanna Hensley is our guest. We're talking about parenting an autistic child. From church life to the liturgy on the other side of the break, we'll talk about why the liturgy has proven so important for him. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor in 2020.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about raising a child with autism. Joanna Hensley is our guest, a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of six children, including an autistic son. She's a Latin teacher for an online classical Christian school called Wilson Hill Academy. The 10th Annual Lutheran Cross Country Championship is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. When you use your Lutheran FCU debit or credit card for $1,000 or more in November, you'll get $5 back, and Lutheran FCU will give that $5 to Lutheran Cross Country Championships. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Serving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, lutheranfcu.org. Joanna, we were talking about Sammy's life in the congregation. How has the liturgy proven to be very important for him?
Sammy loves the liturgy because it is predictable, it is routine, there is repetition. And I think for those reasons, it's not just good for a child with autism, but I think any child is going to benefit from the beauty, the routine, the repetition that is part of the liturgy. It enables him to participate, albeit in limited ways, but he's still able to participate because he's able to predict what comes next. And also, we were talking about the intensity with which, you know, our children feel things. Sammy feels his sin intensely. I think he's aware of his shortcomings, and he is so eager to confess his sins and to receive absolution and even to receive the Lord's Supper. This has been such a gift for us and for Sammy that he is communing now. So thankful for our pastors who've brought him to this point. But he feels very deeply that sense of remorse and his need for forgiveness, and the forgiveness that comes from Christ is just such a treasure for him.
How important have relationships with other parents of special needs children been for you?
Oh, hugely important. I didn't know a lot of families with special needs children before I had Sammy, but now I feel like even complete strangers are suddenly friends, because whether it's just exchanging a knowing glance at the grocery store, or I have had hugs and tearful conversations, even with complete strangers on the street, just because you both know that you've got children who have some challenges ahead, who require a lot from mom, and that gives you a sense of camaraderie with one another, because it can be very isolating to be a parent of a special needs child, and maybe you can relate to that too. You can feel left out of things, or like people don't really understand what your reality is. So when you meet another parent with a special needs child, I'm always glad to have that opportunity to bond with them.
You gave him a biblical name, Samuel. What has that come to mean to you?
Well, even before Samuel was born, I've always loved that image of the boy Samuel resting in the house of the Lord. And that resting in the house of the Lord is what I wanted for my son and what I still want for him. And so that's why, even before we could have ever guessed that he would have autism, that's why we named him Samuel. And I think more and more as I see him growing into that position of rest in the house of the Lord, I know that God loves him, and I know that God is calling him to a particular task that perhaps I don't understand fully, but I know that God understands. And to think that my son might be able to hear God calling him and respond, "Here I am, Lord," that's what I want for him, and that's why I named him Samuel.
Raising a special needs child often means that you'll be actively caring for this child for the rest of your life. How do you think about that?
I think a lot of different things about that, because it's something that is in the future, and I suspect that my answer and my attitude toward that will change once he is actually older and I'm actually in that position where I'm saying goodbye to my other kids, but Sammy stays behind. But I can say now, and I can say this quite honestly, I don't fear this. I love him with all my heart, and the idea of keeping him around home, I think he'll probably end up helping me just as much as I help him, as he's already done so much to help make me a better person. I think this will just continue. And I think about how he is my neighbor, and it is my privilege to love and serve him, even if it is hard every single day, and it is. I'm not looking forward to him growing up so that I can stop serving him. You know, I want this to be something that continues, and I consider it a special privilege that I'll be able to grow old with Sam by my side. That's what I hope for.
In that vein, how do you look at raising a child on the autism spectrum in light of what the Bible says about all of our lives under the cross?
It is hard to raise a child on the autism spectrum. It's hard emotionally, physically, spiritually. There is very real suffering there, and happiness is not always guaranteed. But that's the point, isn't it? God doesn't spare us suffering, but he joins us in our suffering. And because he has joined us in our suffering, he's able to give us joy and a peace that passes understanding. And that is not successful in the eyes of the world, but I'd far rather be in the shadow of the cross looking at that peace that passes understanding.
What would you say to a parent of a child who's just been diagnosed on the autism spectrum and they're very fearful of what lies ahead?
Yeah, well, it is a fearful thing. It is a difficult path for you as a parent and also for your child. Also, there's a lot of conflicting advice out there and pressure on parents. There's with so much that can be done through early intervention. Sometimes as soon as you get the diagnosis, the first thing you do is add in this battery of therapies and everything. And that can be a very intimidating thing. But my word to parents out there is you are not alone on this path. Find me, find other parents that can relate to what you're going through, even if it's just a support group online. You're not alone in this. There is going to be a grieving that is only natural when you receive this kind of diagnosis. But God has designed families that include autism. And even though this does affect everyone in the family, because of God's design, it will affect everyone for good, even if you don't realize it right away. And my prayer would be that this family's heart can grow more compassionate towards others, especially others who are different or those whom the world thinks inferior, that these families can see strength where others would see weakness, and where hearts can grow in faith. Because we do have to rely on God's grace every step of the way. And I would hope that these families' eyes can be open to see beauty, especially perhaps where the world can't see beauty, to see joy in loving your child who is God's child too. And to remember every day that because of Jesus, a glorious resurrection awaits us all.
Joanna Hensley is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of six children in Adelaide, Australia. She's a Latin teacher for an online classical Christian school called Wilson Hill Academy. Joanna, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Over the course of the last year, the Islamic State has lost a lot of territory, recently lost its caliph. It has a new one. We'll find out what a caliph is and a caliphate as we talk about that story with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, Why We Bother with the Fathers, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic?
and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.